Remember the swine flu scare of 1976? That was the year the U.S. government told us all that swine flu could turn out to be a killer that could spread across the nation. And Washington decided that every man, woman, and child in the nation should get a shot to prevent a nationwide outbreak, a pandemic.
Dr. David Sensor, then head of the CDC, the Center for Disease Control in Atlanta, is now in private industry. He devised the swine flu program, and he pushed it.
You began to give flu shots to the American people in October of 76.
October 1st.
By that time, how many cases of swine flu around the world had been reported?
There had been several reported, but none confirmed.
Where did this so-called deadly variety of flu, where did it first hit back in 1976? It began right here at Fort Dix in New Jersey in January of that year when a number of recruits began to complain of respiratory ailments, something like the common cold.
Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. A February 26, 2021. Thank you for joining me today. A very important show today. Wasn't actually going to do a show, had other things planned and saw this story and just absolutely had to come on and tell you about what I'm seeing. Some of the most disturbing things that I've seen in this entire COVID event. It just left me speechless. And not because I wasn't expecting and surprised by what I saw, but because of how blatant it is, knowing there are people that are watching what's happening. And it's almost as if these people don't even recognize what they're doing is wrong. It's horrible stuff we're going to get into, but stuff that's important to see. So we know that this is happening despite what they're telling you, which shows you they're lying about one in a mountain of things we keep pointing out. Now, we're having a little bit of issues with technical stuff today. Before I got started, I'm concerned it might be freezing up, but stick with us regardless because there's information you're going to want to see. I happen to find it quite interesting that I always seem to have these freezing glitch issues like the day when my video wouldn't work on times when there's specific things to talk about. You know, call me a conspiracy theorist, a lot do. But let's jump right into this. Some important stuff to get into. And I also have some interesting little deviations today that you're going to enjoy. A clip, or rather just apart from Robert, we're getting into Syria that will play on the Daily Wrap-Up. We'll start to do this a little bit more as well, as he's going to continue to do his show about foreign policy, but also we'll try to do little clips here and there so he can chime in on the Daily Wrap-Up, which will eventually try to get to the point to where we're doing live breaking in Robert on the scene sort of things in the ground, as well as others that we'll be working with in the future. But today, a lot to get into. Syria has been going on since yesterday, the recent bombings from Biden's administration. That's what Robert's going to be talking about, but how it ties into a lot more. The Iraq rockets, the Katyusha rockets that, of course, are always Iran, which I joke about this topic all the time because it's the same narrative over and over and over, which we know that the people they're pointing to have access to far better weapons. It's a frustrating reality, but Robert will make it very clear about what's going on. At the very least, show you that there's much more happening they're not showing you. But we'll also get into a few more things, lockdowns and other foreign policy points. But let's get right into the first part of this, the most important part of this story. And this will actually be a little bit of a shorter show for those that are used to longer ones, because this was the main point of why I came on today. Now, there's a lot of sites are reporting on this. But you'll find, as usual, that the sites that are willing to talk about something like this, regardless of how well documented, will be the ones that people call conspiracy sites. In fact, some of the ones that are covering this are sites that I don't like because I've seen them report on things that are wildly unverified, in fact, turn out to be false, quoting sources and so on. But it's irrelevant because it's about the content, which is I'm always trying to tell you guys. I don't care who said a thing. Is if you can look at the claim, the facts, and find out that there's something backing it up, it doesn't matter who stated it. That can play a factor in your decision-making process, but it comes down to whether or not it's backed up by evidence. And this is backed up by evidence. And you will not hear this on the mainstream media. I'm sure you're not surprised by that at all. This is coming from News 2020. Whistleblower from Berlin nursing home, the terrible dying after vaccination. Now, this is all coming from German. A lot of these are German, translated. So there'll be a little bit of differences in regard to the translation. But just to jump right before we get into this, because I want to make sure you hear all the details. This is not just coming from some, an independent site. This is coming directly from, this is in German. Actually, I think I can actually translate this. Let me do this really quickly. See if it works on this page too. Okay, good. Right. So this is, it actually didn't change the other part. I wanted to make sure I read it not in German. This is, you guys have heard from attorney at law, Dr. Rainer Fulmich or Fulmich. I believe it's Fulmich, from the Corona Committee. And you've heard from him more than once. You might remember his discussion where he spoke out in regard to the video. It was Crimes Against Humanity, the German Corona investigation. Global Research covered it. A lot of people covered it. Ben Swan interviewed him as well. You've seen this video. It was all it was all over the place in the middle. This was December 16th, but I believe that came out actually a little bit before that. In any sense, this was something that was discussed and debunked if you listen to the mainstream media, despite this not being really something that you can debunk, other than the fact that they're making claims they disagree with, that they have science and data to back up. But that's a different discussion today, sort of the same thing as everything in the COVID narrative. But this is the person we're talking about, at least one of the people involved with this, in regard to pointing this out. Now, they're working with this group. You've seen this is the website that is trying to point out and document things that are happening around the criminal activity around COVID-19 from our governments. And what they ended up finding, and even to them, it seems like they just weren't expecting to have this drop in their lap, was a whistleblower who reached out to them. And you'll see the video. I'll show you all the documentation. I'll show you both the full video and the clip we're going to get into. But the idea that they reached out, you'll hear their voice. It's completely altered, so you can't hear what they really sound like. But they have documented video, which I will show you, that shows unequivocally that these nurses are forcefully making people take vaccinations. Now, there's plenty of people that probably wouldn't even have an issue with that, which blows my mind. But especially as we're screaming about protecting people's grandmas. But what's the biggest issue here is this is somebody that works there, somebody that did this with a secret camera because they knew what they were doing was wrong. And they're showing you, and they go on to talk about how the actions were not just wrong, but the way they conducted it shows you that they knew, as well as having military personnel on hand to arguably intimidate the people involved. But the bigger part of the story is that eight people ended up dying within weeks after this happened. Nobody's talking about this outside of the independent media, and even then very few, because a lot of even the independent media feels this is just too can't cover the COVID stuff because you'll be censored, you'll be removed, or they want to kind of nuzzle up next to the mainstream media crowd to get more reach. And everybody has their own or drive and what they're trying to accomplish. I'm not trying to judge. I have my own opinions, but I know there's different ways to reach that as long as the truth is getting called out. This coronavirus topic, though, is not being called out by a lot of people. And that needs to be pointed at because this is a huge story. Of course, our government committing atrocities around the world, which, by the way, we also cover, is important. But is there really anybody under the illusion that our government is not using the idea of humanitarianism to cover the fact that they're murdering people abroad? I mean, I think we all know that to one degree or another. We're just somehow okay with it because of narrative. So that's a story that we can continue to point to. But this is the news. This is what's really happening that's being covered up by all of that. And what's happening in Syria, by the way, that we're going to get into today is obviously important because it's happening within this as well. There's a larger narrative happening here. And it stems back to what we've talked about in the bi-national security state and so on. But this, coming back to the main point, is what's happening right now in regard to our families, the weakest among us. And I feel very strongly that this is tied to a eugenics narrative push. An element of this is definitely tied to that, in my opinion, because you know what? The eight people that all ended up getting, that died, but more than that, that were forced, those eight people all had dementia, except that most of them were actually very healthy. Interesting, right? But this is, as it says, since mid-July 2020, the Corona Committee has been investigating in live meetings lasting several hours why the federal and state governments have imposed unprecedented restrictions in the context of the coronavirus and what consequences these have had and are having for people. Now, this is primarily based in Germany, But I've seen them cover things that are not associated to just Germany, but that's where this one pertains to. But understand, this is a global effort. You know, the agenda of the COVID event. But I recommend you go through and actually take the time to watch these and look at what they're discussing. This one in particular is what we're going to get into today. So coming back to this before we get into the video, I wanted you to understand this before we watch it so there's context. Now, as it says, within 4 weeks after the first vaccination, which I will show to you, was forced with the Pfizer BioNTech vaccine, and there it's the name is Comirnaty. I'm actually interested in why that's the name, but it's relevant for this discussion. I've mentioned that before in the past. It's just an odd name. 8 of 31 seniors who suffered from dementia, but were in good physical condition according to their age before the vaccination died. But so they were healthy before the vaccination and then they died. The first death occurred after only 6 days. The five other seniors died approximately 14 days after vaccination. The first symptoms of the disease had already appeared shortly after the vaccination, which, by the way, is what we continue to see in Israel as well. Thousands of people getting COVID-19, as we're told, it could be any number of things, and blaming it on the vaccine or because they caught it before it actually started working, or is there something actually being caused by this? And it's why nobody's willing to ask that question baffles me. Because of how much actual, yes, it's observational, yes, but it is evidence of what we're seeing happen over and over and over. At some point, you have to go, could that be happening? Just because they say, no, it can't. We should ask that question. They've said, no, it can't to 1,000 things in our history that literally happen every day that we then find out, oh, they not only knew, that's not only happening, but they knew that it was happening and said that while they knew it was happening. I mean, look at Clapper and the NSA spying on us. Look at spraying geoengineering in the sky. Look at all kinds of things. Lithium probably as well, but I'm blanking on it now all of a sudden. Fluoride in our water was something that they aggressively denied for years. And they straight up laughed at people. Like the whole tinfoil hat pictures and laughing, oh, go look at your black helicopters, by the way, which are very real. And it's been discussed by the Pentagon for years, but they still use that black helicopter thing, which is weird. But they lie. They said it was fake forever. So when we stare at this kind of thing, we have to recognize that they would happily lie to your face about this, knowing that they're protected to a certain degree by the agenda, by the larger movement here. This is why you have people like Gavin Newsom or these, you know, underlings of the government cabal we're staring at, who are arguably doing things that aren't necessarily related to the main push, but to just capitalize on their own personal situation. Look at Cuomo, same thing. Now it says attorney at law Vivian Fisher and attorney at law Dr. Reiner Fulmick of the Corona Committee spoke in a video, which you will see, with the whistleblower about the closer circumstances of the vaccination, with symptoms that occur and the different nature of the deaths in temporal connection with the vaccination. The day before the vaccination, the 31 vaccinated persons were all in good health. A few days later, all had tested negative for coronavirus, according to the whistleblower report. So again, the idea that we're giving the vaccine to healthy people and it's having negative effects, in some cases leading to death, regardless of whether you think they just naturally died afterward, the correlation that continues to be shown should at the very least make us question whether we should maybe just wait to give it to people that need it instead of healthy people that we end up hurting. According to the whistleblower, the first vaccination event with this the vaccine on January 3rd, 2021. That's the first one. It took place in such a way that all residents were gathered in a recreation room of the first floor. The vaccination team consisted of an aged vaccinator, 3 aides, and 2 federal soldiers in camouflage uniforms performed the vaccinations. Why is that necessary? I don't understand why even the military element is ubiquitous, guys, across the board. I don't know why that's not alarming to us. The home staff, as well as the home physician, assisted in the process. Now, the role of the soldiers, who at no time moved away from the vaccine, has not been conclusively determined. So there really was no purpose there, except what they say next, I tend to agree with. That the whistleblower was able to establish however, was that what they were able to establish was that the presence of the uniformed men greatly intimidated the seniors. The group, remember this is in Germany, which normally shows a strong defensive behavior in the case of unfamiliar treatments, was hardly recognizable. So predominantly lamb-like, they called it, that they let the vaccination with the common natty pass over them. Right, these are, again, you know, translation stuff. The whistleblower suspects that this could also be related to the fact that the elderly seniors who had still experienced the war could not properly assess the role of the soldiers and possibly felt reminded of war traumatic circumstances. That's an opinion, but interesting and logical one. During the first vaccination, a resisting senior citizen was detained by a nurse under the watchful eyes of the German soldiers. The eyewitnesses reported this. There were a judicial decision for the detention, which as such represents a coercion and therefore requires in principle, a judicial evaluation in the individual case had not been issued. The point being, if this is going to come to a point where they need to be forced or detained or restrained, these things in this sense, because these are people with rights, and in a lot of cases, people that have, you know, power of attorney or whatever it would be called for somebody that is deemed not mentally there, that needs to be dealt with. You don't just get to supersede that and do it because in that moment, you believe vaccines are the right thing for everybody. But that's what happened. They just skipped right over it, just like everything else we're talking about, because fear, danger, government said. According to the whistleblower's account, the administration of the second vaccination dose took place without warning, always on the spot where the person to be vaccinated was found. For example, basically they just walk up to, what that means is wherever they are, they just go find them in the dining room and just give them a vaccine right there. It says, for example, an elderly lady lying unsuspectingly in bed who began to resist the second dose. And this is the one that I took. This is the main photo today. Was restrained by two members of nursing staff in order to overcome her resistance, again, without the necessary court order. The swabbing for PCR tests, which some seniors tried to resist, is also regularly done with the use of physical force against the seniors resisting the unwanted treatment. This is a crime, guys. No matter how you think about how important this stuff is, it's so funny how on one side of it, people have rights and we have to care about their freedom and liberty, except when I'm scared about what the government told me is happening. Then I don't care about those person's rights. It's just so subjective. We're all such hypocrites in this country because we just seem to sway back and forth with whatever the new political movement is. And I say that in a general sense out of frustration. Obviously, everybody here on the channel is to some degree is willing to challenge the narrative and think for themselves. When usually when I say that, and you know, I'm talking about the majority that is still lost, or the false majority, as you know, that I think it is. It's frustrating, though, because people cannot recognize that they're being pulled back and forth between the two-party illusion. There's a great video I'm going to play a clip from James Corbett today when we get into the foreign policy. Goes forward to say, the seniors also showed a change in demeanor. And this is after they had a lot, they were starting to show side effects. Sharp drop in blood oxygen saturation. I mean, it correlates with everything we're pointing out, guys. And by the way, I guarantee these people are all being forced to wear masks. So let's add that to the possible aspect here. In some cases, gasping breathing occurred, fever, edema, skin rash, yellowish gray discoloration of the skin. I mean, clearly this is all happening within days after this, guys, but let's just pretend like these healthy people just all of a sudden broke out with 17 different problems all at the same time, all after the vaccine. And it's all just because they were old, right? The seniors also showed a change in demeanor, were partially unresponsive and refused to eat or drink. One vaccinated senior who had previously been in great shape, that's a quote from the person seeing them every day, for her age and suffered no serious previous illnesses, died as early as January 9th. Remember, we're talking about what was the date that it began? January, where I just read it. January 3rd, right? So January 3rd. So a week later, person dies. In good health. Now, I understand these people are elderly, but in good health. And when they say for their age, it means that they're, like I just said, and suffered no serious previous illnesses. Dementia is why they're being deemed for their age in good health. Now, remember, we just talked about them discussing the idea of, you know, in the UK at the very least, or England specifically, or it, 60% of the people that died were told from COVID in England were disabled. Which is just baffling and alarming, and no one cares about that outside of seemingly this channel. But we can see this in every other way in plenty of other places like New York, where some upwards of 80% of the people that died in general were all from nursing homes, and of them, they mostly were over 90. It's unbelievable. I just think we have to recognize the idea that these people are being focused on because of things like dementia, like things that they consider that can be passed down. And that makes them, in the eugenics mindset, people that are not, that shouldn't be breeding. And that is how these people see this. And I'm talking about eugenics necessarily, not just everybody involved with this. But remember, there is an obvious and documented tie to the eugenics mentality in all of this, including people that were that are in groups that were previously called the Eugenic Society. They're tied to the vaccine program. And Whitney's talked about this plenty. But it says deaths among vaccinated seniors and senior citizens occurred on January 15th, January 16th, January 19th, two of them that day, January 20th, February 2nd, and February 8th. It says the most recently deceased senior was a former opera singer who had been playing the piano the day before vaccination. The whistleblowers report that on the state of health that the old gentleman regularly went jogging, danced, played music, and was otherwise very dynamic and active. Of the seniors who tested negative before vaccination, various suddenly showed a positive test result after vaccination. What do you know? However, all of these seniors did not show any of the known COVID symptoms. Cough, cold, loss of sense and smell, all the same things we keep hearing. But yet we'll just call it, you know, we'll deem it whatever we want anyway. One of the points, I think it's actually in the video that I'm going to show you, discussed the fact that this guy we're talking about, the one that was jogging and dancing, had just raced one of the nurses that was 30 years old and beat her. Right, like reasonably before all of this. He was a long distance runner. And days after this was suddenly incapacitated and, you know, just old anyway, was gonna die. That is the narrative we get based on all of this stuff. Now, going forward, again, remembering where this is coming from, where this is actually being cited in the documentation, here is the full video, and I just want you to see, and there are subtitles, it's all in German, but I recommend you actually take the time to watch as much as it's 5 hours. But there is a lot in here that is very important. Well, all I'm showing you today, for the most part, is the actual video footage from the whistleblower. They're talking a lot about a lot of important things. So just make sure you take the time to take a look at this. Now, let's see. I think I have it just a few seconds back. You can hear it's in German.
Okay, aber die Symptome schwerwiegender.
And that's the whistleblower with the distorted voice.
21, ja, kein Wunder. Wenn sieben schon tot sind, genau. Wenn einer fast tot ist, dann bleibt ja nicht mehr so viel übrig, was man zum zweiten Mal impfen kann. In der zweiten Impfung, was sind da für Symptome aufgetreten?
Wesensveränderung.
There we go. Okay, so here's the beginning of the whistleblower videos. Now, it'll show you a few different circumstances, most of which are very apparent that the people are resisting and it doesn't matter. That's really the main point if you've seen this. And then I'm going to play. Actually, you know what? I'm doing this in the incorrect way. What I want to show you here is just so you can see, this is the main one that I'm going to be showing. Actually, I might as well just play this right now since you can see it. And it's so unnerving to watch this. Imagine this is your grandmother who is there by herself, has no one to protect her. They've got army personnel in the room. They force her down. They grab her arms. They wrestle her to the bed and then they give her a shot, even though she doesn't want it. I mean, it's very apparent that this person is resisting. I don't know why anybody would argue that otherwise, but there are some, by the way. There always are. But bringing this to the clip that I want to show you, and the reason I wanted to show you the full part is so you just see where this is coming from and that it is legitimate whistleblower reaching out to this group and with the film that they saw themselves inside this nursing home. And this has been confirmed by the group, the Corona Committee themselves. Now, this is basically just a compilation of just the parts where people are being forced to take the shots, which is what I wanted you to see. Okay, yeah. And now this is actually a part where, and this is the same person, you'll see him speak in English here, where they're just, there's another part of it where they're discussing this in English, and I'll play that part at the end for you to listen.
We'll start in two.
Now, this part, there's no volume here. This is just the same ones you were just seeing. Now, this is like what they're talking about, where they approach these people. Well, this is actually in their room, but there's plenty of examples where it shows them just sort of sitting in random areas. And it doesn't see, and you can see the military personnel right there in camouflage. And you can see even in this one, the one person sort of upset. You can see at one point, this other person is sort of trying to stop right there. They just want it. It's just so disgusting how we can be in a position where you are forcing this on the weakest among us. Do we not have rights anymore? I mean, I don't care where you are in the world. We're talking about international human rights. You have a right to refuse any medical treatment. I mean, for crying out loud, I show the UNESCO document constantly. That very clearly shows you, and this is in regard to bioethics, that you have a right to say no. It doesn't matter. And by the way, it also lists if, let's say, you're somebody who has no, I keep forgetting the term they use, that basically has somebody else that makes their decisions for them because they're deemed not, you know, mentally sound. It lists very clearly that then that person must be the one that authorizes the consent, and then they have the right to refuse it and remove it as well. These people, all being of sound mind and body, being very healthy, or technically, I should be clear, we're talking about people with dementia here, but we're talking about people that are able to engage, have conversations, and can make decisions for themselves, by and large, especially the person that was the jogger. But look, regardless, there are people trying to rationalize why this makes sense because they're afraid of something they don't understand, which makes them cowards, in my opinion. But there's no reason whatsoever that anything like this should be forced on anybody that does not want it. I don't care what your justification is. I don't care if it's actually the best thing in the world for them. If they don't want it, it's their choice. And I don't understand why this is such a difficult thing for people to grasp. I mean, of course, it would matter to them if it was them in that position. Well, God, don't we have rights? But of course, when you're over here in your room, tucked away in your corner with your mask and your goggles on, freaked out about everything you're being told, of course, make them do it because that's what we need to do to make everybody safe. But if it was your grandma or yourself in that position, you would have a little bit of a different opinion. It just shows you how hypocritical people are being every possible way around this narrative. And a lot of it has to do with two-party politics, unfortunately.
Okay, so we're back. This is a clip.
This is the attorney we're talking about. Make sure I don't mispronounce it. Reiner Fulmick.
That we never expected to see. Viviane and I spoke with the whistleblowers from that nursing home, and they explained to us that out of 31 people, these are all people who are suffering from dementia, out of 31 people who were vaccinated, 8.
So that's even more interesting. So not just 8 of it, all 31. So why did they seek out and forcefully vaccinate everyone with dementia? What about, I mean, there's plenty of more people that, I mean, just think about how obvious that is. It's the same as the disabled, 60% in England. Why are they focusing on the people that have nothing to do with COVID-19? I mean, look, if you want to make this about COVID-19, what about the people with diabetes and the people with other comorbidities that are obviously more damaging in regard to whatever you're claiming this is? No, they go after people with learning disabilities and give them DNRs in England. They give people with dementia forced vaccinations in Germany. Clearly, it's not about what they're telling you.
Died within two or three weeks. 11 more suffer from serious side effects, serious adverse effects. And they explained to us how all of them had tested negative before they were vaccinated, before they were given the injections, and how they were all in good shape, apart from the fact, of course, that they were suffering from dementia. One of them is a runner in his late 70s, I think, or was a runner, I should say, who was also an opera singer. He outran one of the nurses who was in her mid-30s. He was still singing operas on the day that he got vaccinated. After he got vaccinated, a couple of days later, he died. So this opera singer doesn't sing anymore. This video clip is horrific, horrific. The thing is that's most disturbing about this is because we are getting more and more calls from other whistleblowers, from other nursing homes in this country. Plus, we're getting information from other countries, Sweden, for example, Norway, for example, Gibraltar, for example. There are also incidents in England and in the United States that match these descriptions. It may not be as bad as it is in this particular nursing home in every single incident, but it's bad enough. it means that people are dying because of the vaccine. So, of course, we're going to have to go and look into the details. We're going to have autopsies performed. But what we're seeing in this video clip is worse than anything we ever expected. And if that is true, and if this is representative for what's going on in the other nursing homes and in other countries, then we have a very serious problem. And so do the people who make the vaccines. So do the people who administer the vaccines for various reasons. But this is, it looks more and more as though we're dealing with homicide, maybe even murder. We're going to have to look into the detail.
Wow.
Meanwhile, all of your mainstream media will ignore this, disparage it, laugh at it, pretend it's fake news, and continue to explain why these people should be forced to given shots. Now, if you want to watch more about this in the discussion, it all has subtitles. It's 5 hours. There's a long discussion about a lot of stuff. There's also plenty of other videos that you should check out on the, just, this is a website that you should be keeping track of, because this is a group that is actually fighting for you. They're trying to find out information about what's really going on at a time when it's never been harder to find the truth. That's what we need more of. Now, on the flip side, here's Biden letting you know that everything is fine.
But if there is one message that needs to cut through, it's this. The vaccines are safe and effective. And I believe as you see your neighbor, your husband, your wife, your son, your...
So safe and effective. So safe, which is wildly subjective, especially once we're talking about there are obviously side effects, and they tell you there are side effects. So that's not actually safe, right? But on top of that, we know there's a lot more of that happening. We know that this is still being tested. It's not even done, and they're still testing on pregnant women and children and all kinds, but it's safe, though. We know it is, even though that's not actually finished. And then effective, meaning what? I mean, it's effective 95% in stopping mild symptoms. That's not effective. That doesn't do anything but reduce what you think you have. And then does it, though? How do you know? You have a mild case. Does that mean you just had a mild case, or did the vaccine did something different? Or maybe the vaccine caused that in your body, like we're seeing in a lot of other places. Or how about the idea that it still doesn't stop transmission and it still doesn't stop you from catching it? So that doesn't lead to anything even remotely discussing herd immunity. And then let's talk about the idea that this is a genetically modified vaccine that does have effects on your body, that does have long lasting effects that we don't even understand yet. But yeah, safe and effective. Keep going, Joe.
Safe and effective. And I believe as you see your neighbor, your husband, your wife, your son, your daughter getting it, that you will be much more inclined to get it. Listen to Dr.
Which doesn't really mean anything, right? So if you see other people get it, well, then you'll get it too. That's some good science right there, right? So we should just get it because we see other people doing things. So follow, as always, don't think, just follow. This is the message of Joe Biden's administration.
Dr. Fauci, listen to the scientists who develop these vaccines.
Oh, you mean the people that work for Pfizer or the people that work for the NIH, both of which have profit motives in regard to the specific vaccine. But yeah, trust them because they've never lied to you before.
And the extensive and rigorous review that went through. I did. I took my shots publicly to demonstrate to the American people that it's safe and effective.
Which, again, they don't need to point out the reality that they've been caught faking things just like that already in this process. But let's just assume that it works for him, or the fact that there's something. I mean, there's a plenty of other things to be concerned about in that statement. But the idea that he's just saying, just do it, it's safe. It's not even backed up by the actual facts. And right now, literally, the FDA still says on their site that there is not a currently an approved vaccine for COVID-19. But here's the president of the United States telling you, just get it. It's safe and effective, even though it's never been approved. Yes, it's been emergency authorized, but that is a very different thing. But Biden doesn't care about that. He's just reading what somebody wrote for him. And right now, currently, which I find very interesting, the UN Security Council is calling for ceasefires and wars around the world to speed vaccinations. Oh, you're right. So because obviously the most important thing is the vaccine, and Biden and everybody keeps screaming about that. Well, of course, they're going to immediately stop all their wars, right? Because that's the most important thing. Of course not. Which shows you they don't really feel that way, that the war still is more important to them than anything else. But they'll just keep doing both. They'll argue that both of them are important, and that's why we get... It's just so funny that continues to be the obvious reality as they just bombed Syria and killed people in the middle of what they're telling you is a pandemic while they're burning their wheat fields, while they're stealing their oil, while they're freezing. But that's good old humanitarian USA stuff right there. But this won't happen. They'll continue to march around the world and do what they want. And we'll show you this. We're talking about the government here, not the country. But on top of that, here are seven states that are on the verge of herd immunity, according to Zero Hedge. And then this is what's interesting about this. Whether or not that's even true, the idea is that they're claiming this and that this is challenging the narrative of why we need the vaccine or why we ever needed it in regards to getting herd immunity or the fact that this will continue to be a problem if we're already seeing herd immunity without the vaccine being broadly given. But of course, that's where the variant comes in, the old dangerous variant that we can't prove anything about. It's going to continue to float around, just like we just showed you the EU. They're wildly decreasing the danger. Put it this way, the numbers they're telling us about COVID-19 are wildly decreasing. And yet they're going, but, well, there's a variant and we just don't know. So we're going to keep doing all the things that are catastrophically hurting your lives because we just don't know. We'll err on the side of damage. That's interesting. Well, who cares? That's what government seems to do. But as it says, nothing seems to scare the establishment more than a return to normal. And by normal, we mean a return to an environment outside of the tyrannical control of career politicians and bureaucrats who have got a taste for this being king stuff and know that anyone who questions their edicts will be canceled by their COVIDian cultists. Of course, this is from Zero Hedge, but I agree with that. So a week after Johns Hopkins surgeon Dr. Mary McCary penned an op-ed to the Wall Street Journal saying that we will have herd immunity by April and was instantly disavowed as, quote, dangerous. Some awkward facts and science have been dropped by none other than the fun strats Tom Lee. But guess this is exactly what I keep showing you. So is it incorrect that we may reach herd immunity by April, regardless of the vaccine? Clearly, they didn't say it's fake. They just said, whoa, that's dangerous. Why? Because the truth is making people not take the vaccine. They're showing you this every day. And they'll tell you that, and people will go, well, of course, because those people have been brainwashed to think that this is the most important thing of all time and can't wrap their mind around why it would be necessary while the immunity is coming and why cases are dropping and deaths are going down. Who cares? Just get it because Fauci said you're in danger. In Fauci, we trust, right? I mean, that's literally all over the place. See, people with Fauci ouchie stickers and stuff. I mean, this is not a joke. I mean, this is legitimately spreading. But I would argue amongst the very vocal and uninformed minority that they say is the majority, which is still a hell of a lot of people. But it says cumulatively and slowly, the U.S. is seeing more states reach that combined level of vaccination and infections approach what is seen as herd immunity. But even then, they have to include it with the vaccines too, which it's fine, but at the end of the day, I'll show you in a minute, it's still under 6% for people in this country. So obviously, that's not what's happening. But it says, so far, South Dakota, North Dakota, Rhode Island, Arizona, Oklahoma, Utah, and Tennessee are the nearest to reaching herd immunity, according to this information. Lee's math, which we also know is racist, and they're making a joke about that's not a joke, by the way, that people have literally claimed that math is racist. That's real. I can't even breath. Another discussion for another day, but it says appears to fit with McCary's arguments for why the recent plunge in cases, hospitalizations, and deaths is not policy related, no matter how much the politicians and their media lackeys push that narrative. Just like we always told you, no matter how this ended up dissipating, they were going to look back and go, good thing we did all those things we did because we'd still be doing. No. Obviously, the actual data shows you that what they did is actually exacerbated the problem. And all the real science and real facts are showing you that. Not real facts, real science. Because people that are just saying, look at trust the science that says this. That's not science. That's what you say it is. I've shown you the science. I've shown you the fact that the lockdowns have in fact shown. I mean, it is next level what's happening right now. Suicides, the lack of hospital, lack of people treating other things not COVID related. I mean, it's just catastrophic. It really is. And by the way, it is. I've done other shows about it. I'm not going to dive into it now. Really is backed up by the facts. I was going to finish my own thought. But it goes on to say, the consistent and rapid decline in daily cases since January 8th can be explained only by natural immunity. Again, this was coming from Johns Hopkins surgeon, Dr. Marty McCary. So Johns Hopkins, right? One of these people that's supposed to be, you know, 201 tied. I mean, but suddenly they say something that we don't like or even remotely hints at the idea of vaccine hesitancy. And suddenly they're fake news, anti-science conspiracy theorists, right? Which is pretty much what's happening right now. But there's, or I thought it was Mary. So I miss it's Marty. So I think it might be a guy. In any case, says he says the consistent and rapid decline in these cases can only be natural immunity. Behavior didn't suddenly improve over the holidays, which we know, right? Americans traveled more over Christmas than they had since March. Vaccines also didn't explain the steep decline in January. Vaccination rates were low and they take weeks to kick in that sense. Anyway, again, it's only not even 7% of our population has gotten with their vaccinations. So this is not what's happening right now, no matter what they try to tell you. It says experts should level with the public about good news, but that never happens, right? As Dr. James Lineweiler pointed out, right? They didn't tell you the good news, right? This is not what we're being told, right? But of course, they don't want to come out and be like, good news, guys, we're not in danger, because that pops the fear-mongering bubble. They won't do that. There's been plenty of things that have come out to show you. They'll come out and report, you know, this thing could be doing this, right? That's half of their COVID reporting these days. These new variants could be more damaging, says so-and-so, with nothing to back it up but the possibility. So why don't you come out and say, this thing could be less damaging than we think? They'll never do that, even if there's actually science that points to it, because they have a narrative, guys. It can't be more obvious than it is today. But Marty is screaming this, that they should be telling us what's going on, and that the data on herd immunity, eminent herd immunity, puts more pressure on Fauci and Biden to come clean, despite their variant fear-mongering and, quote, no return to normal until Christmas or beyond predictions, says Marty from Johns Hopkins as a surgeon. But of course, this reality may never be allowed in the national narrative, as McCary previously concluded, quote, some medical experts privately, and this is so important, hear this. He's for telling you from Johns Hopkins, some medical experts privately agreed with his prediction and that there may be very little COVID-19 by April, but suggested that they don't talk publicly about it, about her immunity, because people might become complacent and fail to take precautions or might decline the vaccine. So the truth might cause you to do something like not take the vaccine. So we don't tell you the truth. In fact, we lie about the truth. That's what's happening. It says, but scientists shouldn't try to manipulate the public by hiding the truth. I agree. As we encourage everyone to get a vaccine, we also need to reopen schools and society to limit the damage of closures and prolonged isolation. Contingency planning for an open economy by April can deliver hope to those in despair and to those who have made large personal sacrifices. But the science, right? Exactly. So they're agreeing. Yeah, we all see it. We know it's going to go away, but the vaccine. And you know, it is more than that, but my career. But if I speak out, they'll call me an anti-science conspiracy theorist. So they don't say anything. This is what it looks like when science becomes mainstream, when it becomes co-opted by some kind of narrative agenda about some biosecurity state, great reset, technocratic revolution. And suddenly they're afraid to speak out. What does that remind you of when scientists and doctors and professionals are afraid to speak out about the truth because they might be ostracized and attacked? Sounds like some kind of an authoritarian state, doesn't it? Exactly. But remember, only 6%, 7% of people have gotten this, so that's not what's happening. You're being lied to as they force vaccinate people with what, God knows, whatever the hell is going on. You need to stand up against this, guys. I can't stress that enough. Time to push back. Now, getting into some foreign policy, it's a little unnerving to see how, I mean, I feel like they just opened the box the last couple of days and just threw out everything they could to get us to stop paying attention to what's going on here around COVID-19. I mean, it's just everything. They pulled out the Khashoggi, MBS killed him. I mean, it's pathetic. But it's happening everywhere. And as I said, this breaking U.S. Intel report finds Saudi crown prince ordered the murder of Jamal Khashoggi. Oh, you don't say. Finally, they say exactly what we've been saying. What do you know? How typical is that? So you mean exactly like the independent media widely reported at the time and got censored for? Typical. We don't need some U.S. Intel report you know, big fancy, we found it out for you. The evidence was obvious, guys. This is the government telling us it's now allowable to acknowledge that truth because now they want to, because now it's for some reason useful to them. And like Robert's been saying, it's because they're trying to pressure Saudi Arabia to pull away from the other people they've been dealing with and come back closer to the United States or any number of other things. But it's just like they floated around with this during Trump, but then pulled it back because they fell into line. It's so infuriating that they have to come out with this big report and say, now we know it's true, even though it was painfully clear and numerous people proved this unequivocally. But now we find out because they want us to. Hashtag government is fake news. But this is what's happening. All these things are dumping out left and right. Oh, guess what? Blackwater was the one trying to overthrow Libya that whole time. Oh, I guess that's just part. That's a side story. We'll just kick that out so you drop your jaw to the floor when you realize they've been lying to you about the entire story about Libya this whole time. Oh, but that was a side story that nobody was really paying attention to. You know, that country the U.S. government absolutely destroyed under the guise of fighting for freedom, and then they started selling open slaves, and nobody cared for years until suddenly there was something more to be gained from it, and then they cared because Haftar was fighting for freedom, or however they tried to frame it. Classified UN report says Blackwater tried to overthrow Libya's government. It's just incredible that this is what I could have guessed this at the time. A classified report prepared by UN investigators revealed that the founder of the private security company Blackwater, Eric Prince, violated the arms embargo in Libya and tried to overthrow the internationally recognized government twice in 2019. Now understand that this wouldn't be, it could happen, but this, in my opinion, wouldn't be happening without the express permission and funding and direction from the U.S. government, Trump's administration at the time, and Pompeo, in my opinion, explicitly. That's what we're talking about here. And this is what we need to recognize at a time when they're calling this out and going, we call for peace and this needs, you know, no one cared about the civilians that were being bombed and the refugee centers that were completely exploded by Haftar and his group. No one cared about any of that at the time because we don't care about this when we're focusing on something else. Or the fact that any of this is even happening because the U.S. government overthrew the most prosperous nation in all of Africa at the time that had some of them. It's just like all these other places we're talking about, free education, free health. At the time, Gaddafi was trying to set up a gold back to NAR, and the whole point was that this was helping the people of his country. Yes, of course, the narrative the U.S. government says is quite different than that. Just like they lie about Venezuela, lie about Iran, lie about Syria, lie about Afghanistan, lie about Iraq, and if you actually cared, you could look it up and see it for yourself. But now we can see yet again another lackey of the U.S. government or whatever government was driving it. But I would argue the Western kind of try-by national security state is clearly making this happen because there was an agenda. Remember who was backing Haftar? Trump. And I believe France and I believe a few others that were clearly driving this effort. The report was submitted by the U.N. investigators to the U.N. Security Council. The report stated, according to the Andulu agency, that Eric Prince offered to send mercenaries to renegade General Khalifa Haftar during a meeting in the Egyptian capital, Cairo. Remember, Egyptian capital, which is where another one of the U.S. puppets resides. Sisi, right? Where's my favorite dictator? Mr. Trump famously said in the Oval Office. 10 days after launching the military operation to control Tripoli on the 4th of April, the report confirmed that after the meeting, Prince sent foreign mercenaries, attack aircraft and gunboats to Haftar. So this is why we talk about the idea that we go, oh yeah, we've got no troops over there, but they've got thousands and thousands of Blackwater mercenaries or just any, you know, paid mercenaries from any, and or just extremists that they pay to do what they want that are sending aircraft, gunboats. Right. I mean, this is not some small little thing. This is a government operation, guys. That's what it looks like today. The report revealed that the mercenary force sent by Prince, who was a former United States Navy commando, had planned to form a team to track down and assassinate Libyan leaders because that's totally not illegal. Right. The UN backed government in Libya, they're going to assassinate. That sounds totally like what they just did or tried to do with plenty of other people, or the fact that they just did assassinate nuclear scientists in Iran or literally assassinate Soleimani in the airport of Iraq while they're occupying that country, the sovereign country of Iraq. I mean, this is what they do, guys. This just didn't happen. And that's why you didn't hear about it until now the UN's calling it out. Guess what, though? According to the report, Eric Prince is the brother of Betsy DeVos, former education secretary in Donald Trump's administration. As part of the military operation called Operation Opus, there were also plans to kidnap and kill prominent Libyan figures, including Commander Abdul Rauf Kara and two other commanders who hold Irish passports. So they were going to go after and murder these people. So extrajudicial assassinations, which nobody thinks are okay in public, openly, happily going to do this as long as they didn't get caught, because this is what your government does. The only time they care about rights and freedoms and liberty is when they're in front of you or they're caught doing something wrong. Or like the rest of the people that violated their lockdowns and came out and said, I made a mistake, my fault. Now go back inside. You're not allowed out. The United Nations experts accuse these companies and their executives, who are security experts, of violating the arms embargo imposed by the UN Security Council on Libya, which, by the way, well, different point, but the point is that security experts, these people are well aware. We're talking intelligence people, guys. They're well aware, or military, that this is something was wrong. What they were doing was wrong, but they had the blessing, in my opinion, of the US government. According to the report, Prince's second attempt to overthrow the legitimate government was when mercenary teams from Operation Project Opus were deployed in April and May to destroy major targets in Libya. According to U.S. media, the accusation that Prince violated the arms embargo imposed by the U.N. Security Council on Libya exposes him to possible sanctions by the U.N., including travel bans and freezing his bank accounts and assets. Although this is not certain, reported the New York Times. Guess what probably won't happen, though? The U.S. government casting unilateral sanctions on these people for committing obvious, open, and egregious war crimes. But of course, you hear things about Iran and they're casting things left and right. Or a member of the Iraqi military, or they claim they do something in Iraq, and they're all of a sudden bombing and doing things in the under the guise of going after Iran or casting sanctions. You realize how clear this is hypocrisy. It's a double standard. What they did was wrong. Everybody sees that. They tried to murder people, of course, for political reasons, which, by the way, is literally the definition of terrorism. But if it's under the guise of fighting people the U.S. wants them to, well, they're not going to do anything about that, which shows you that what they're doing is not because they care about these things, but because they know they're a means to an end. But you know this because you watch this show and because you're smart enough to think for yourself. Painful how obvious this stuff is. But these are all things that are trickling out right now that are taking attention away from much larger things that are happening. Oh, and by the way, just to kind of give you something to laugh at as well, guess what?
We are happy to announce that the former Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, is now a senior counsel for global affairs at the American Center for Law and Justice. So let me say it again. Mike Pompeo, the former Secretary of State, former director of the CIA, former member of the United States Congress, is now serving as the senior counsel for global affairs for the American Center for Law and Justice.
For the American Center of Law and Justice. Let that sink in. The former head of the CIA is working for the... That's ridiculous. I mean, in every sense of the word. I mean, not only has this person been caught doing all sorts of horrible things that break the law, but sure, let's give him this position, a senior counsel for global affairs. I mean, for crying out loud, guys.
Now, you're going to see him, the American Center for Law and Justice.
The American Center for Law and Justice. Clearly, that means that's not at all what they're about. If Mike Pompeo was anywhere near them, but it's just kind of shows you what this, it's just, this is business as usual, guys. One more day. I mean, Mike Pompeo will float his way around all sorts of things, just like all these other people have, just like the Brennans and the Clappers have forever. These people are permanent fixtures on the unelected power structure. And sometimes they find their way into that structure. But the point, well, not elected, though, appointed by people who we claim were elected. At the end of the day, it's just a roundabout way to get the same old things happening. But this is a guise now to make him look like he cares about laws and rights. We lied, we cheated, we stole. But yeah, good job to put him on the right position. But bringing this into current day with Joe Biden's administration, here is what Jen had to say after, you know, back in the day when it was Trump bombing Syria. Well, also, what is the legal authority for strikes? Assad is a brutal dictator, but Syria is a sovereign country. Well, that didn't age well, Jen. Not looking good now, is it? It's embarrassing that many are seemingly, and by the way, if you don't know, Jen is on the Biden's administration. It's embarrassing that many are seemingly unable or unwilling to address the insulting level of blatant hypocrisy between parties when the two-party illusion shifts, right? When one day it's the Trump side, one next day it's Biden side, and then everything they said that day is suddenly no longer right the next day. It's a joke. It really is a joke when suddenly she can act like she's all how, you know, rights and human rights and we, it's a sovereign country. And then now Biden's in power. And now there's just some other narrative about why that no longer applies. Are they no longer a sovereign country? I mean, look, that narrative to say that does not suddenly no longer count because something happened over there. Right? Like that means you never really cared it was a sovereign country. You only cared about making it look like Trump did something wrong for political reasons, which makes you a liar, which makes you a hypocrite, Jen. But you already probably know that. That's because what even if, let's say, you actually cared about this and meant it when you said that, now you're not saying a word, which still means you're a hypocrite. Now, suddenly, oh, well, as I said, take note that words change, but actions are the same. This is something Caitlin Johnstone always points out, right? Focus on the actions. If you do that and just ignore the words, they're all the same person, guys. They're all the same thing. Actions are the same. But suddenly now, Jen no longer has an issue. Fake resistance, indeed. And as this next one says, thank you, ma'am. The difference is that Biden has good in his heart. I can feel it. Well, that's really, really objective, isn't it? I'm sure we can just feel how he has a good heart. But as long as Biden murders families and commits war crimes with a good heart, well, that's totally okay. Hashtag freedom. Right? Right? Of course. This one's even worse. So different having military action under Biden. No middle school level threats on Twitter. Trust Biden and his team's competence. Such a quiet attack. No drama, no TV coverage of bombs hitting targets, no comments on how presidential Biden is. What a difference, right? What a quiet attack, no drama, right? This is what someone says living in the comfort of their home in the West while Syrian families are being obliterated. What a quiet attack, right? Suzanne, I'll leave it alone. Wow, so quiet murder? I kind of wrote that odd, but I meant so quiet murder, so presidential, right? So as long as it's quiet murder, it's okay, right? That's because he didn't yell about how he killed all these people. So it's even better. These people are either wildly brainwashed or part of the problem or knowingly lying to you, both of which makes them part of the problem. But this brings me to a really great video from James Corbett. Or a clip from here as a link so you guys can have it in the show. Some people maybe, this is a great video. And I love the way he did this because this deserves to be called out. Now, I'm only going to show you a clip, a couple minutes of this, but it's 40 minutes, 7 minutes. And I really ask that you take the time to watch this full video if you already haven't. Most of you probably already have. And it's not, most Trump supporters are probably turned off in the beginning of this video, but just power through it. Because it's not about Trump. Trump is the tool he uses to make a larger point here, which is that it's all fake, guys. That it's a two-party illusion. That they're constantly using this back and forth, and Trump simply played a role in that, whether or not he actually knew it. I tend to think he did, but I'm open to the possibility. It's really irrelevant now, because here we are. And his point in the beginning is, of course, well, we trusted everything was going to work out, right? Trust the plan. How did that work out for us, guys? So this, I really, really hope you will take the time to watch this full video. Now check just this clip out for now.
Woo! We did it, guys! Yay! It's 2021! Wow! Wow, I must admit, I didn't think we'd make it here, but here we are in the promised land of 2021 after, of course, one glorious term, one amazing administration of President Trump. And mea culpa, I gotta admit, I denigrated all of you statists out there who worship democracy and believe that voting is gonna make any difference whatsoever to the fundamental rigged game that is the political process. I used to go around quoting Emma Goldman, if voting made any difference, they'd make it illegal. Or I'd quote H.L. Mencken, democracy is the art and science of running the circus from the monkey cage. But boy, was I wrong. Here we are in 2021, and look at how things have turned around. Yes, I got to admit, voting made all the difference.
Now, right there, I want to insert the point here. I believe you guys can still hear me. I want to insert the point here. Let me know in the chat if you can still hear me right now, just in case. But I want to insert the point here that it goes either way. Right. I mean, of course, he's making the point about Trump and the Q MAGA mania, where people basically just bought in lock, All of a sudden, I'm blanking on that that phrase. And sinker. For some reason, that just slips me. Or it evades me. But they bought in completely. I just hate when I can't remember things. They bought in completely. And just trusted that voting was going to, you know, or specifically voting for Trump because they believed in Trump would be the solution. It would all end and everything would get better. Now, maybe they believe that. Maybe they believed that he would actually change everything. Hook, line, and sinker. I couldn't stop thinking about that. it drives me crazy. Hook, line, and sinker. But they believed it would change, right? They believed everything would be different. But that point applies to Biden as well. Right now, you've got all these people that are having a crash course in how nothing is changing, despite the people that believe just because they want to that it is. You know, oh, we're going to stop the immigration. Nope, that's not going to happen. Oh, we're going to stop all the wars. Nope, that didn't happen. But look at Biden. He just did it in a way that's not Trump. So we're all better now. It's pathetic. But you have this every year. And that's what he's saying in this video. It's not just about Trump. So don't harp on that. It's about the fact that all of this is an illusion. And it does happen on both sides of this right now. But there is a bigger point to be made. And hopefully, like I keep saying, in regard to that Q supporting MAGA side of this whole thing, that there's a point to be made that these people now have an opportunity to recognize that they have been fooled and fight back. I mean, it doesn't mean to wait for Trump again for 4 years. Do it now. Recognize that the system does not work and that you even if Trump was the person you thought he was, clearly the system is built so he couldn't do what you thought he was supposed to do. Trust that the system is broken see it and recognize that and join in with people that are trying to fight against the whole thing, not just one side or the other. On the Biden side, there's people that are already quickly seeing that this is not what they thought it was, but it's going to take a lot longer for them to reach the point that I argue a lot of the other side is right now, you know, the other side in the two-party illusion.
Oh, right. Sorry. Wait. Got to snap out of it there. Yes. Yes, that is exactly what I'm saying. Fake, phony, staged. Fake is a $3 bill. That is the political process. That is the political process they dangle out in front of you, the hoi polloi, who will not be allowed to change anything of substance, no matter what you think you are voting for. It is not the solution. You are not going to vote your way to freedom. That is not what the voting box is there for to accomplish. And let me guess, you're going to say something along the lines of, but James, he was only one man. He can't change the entire system, aren't you? And where have I heard that before? Surveying the flaming wreckage of the last 8 years, Obama's duped supporters will now be the first to tell you that you can't blame everything that happens on the president. The same people who voted Obama into office in the earnest belief that he would change the system now solemnly intone that he was just one man up against an entire system. Oh, right, that's where I've heard that before. Do you see? Do you see why all statists sound the same to me? It is because other than the color on your team jersey and what name you choose to venerate, you all say exactly the same things, in exactly the same way. You make the exact same excuses, time after time after time. No, you don't get it, James. This time, voting really matters, and it's really going to make a difference. And then, when it doesn't make a difference, well, of course, he's just one man. He's up against an entire system.
Every time.
It's the same thing every single time.
President Obama and Michelle and Bill and Hillary, and they were going to Michigan. No, it's okay. No, forget it. That plays great. Before the election, we don't care, right?
Indeed. That certainly says something, doesn't it? Right? I mean, by the way, please again watch that full video because there's a lot of clips like that some of them I didn't even actually see where it's just clear calling out, I mean, literal flip-flopping from day to the next and changing everything. By the way, Lock, Stock, and Barrel was, in fact, what I was thinking about. And for some reason, Hook, Line, and Sinker, it would have applied. So I just jumped on it. But Lock, Stock, and Barrel, Jimmy, whoever else pointed out, appreciate it. I mean, you guys that watch this show know how much it bothers me when I can't think of something that I know. But it's just so crazy to see. People will dismiss that because, James is being making fun of a. That is the most valid point of all time right there. He has been saying this forever. If anybody has a right to be frustrated that no one's paying attention, it's James Corbett. And the point is that he's right. It's the same old thing over and over, right? The silent majority. It's like the same. They every so many years, they recycle the same things. Even you find out when Biden or Michelle Obama or people are reusing speeches from past administrations. It's just a constant. It's the same old rigmarole, guys. It continues over and over. And I just think it's time that we actually see that and recognize how obvious it is. But on that note, coming into some foreign policy discussion as well, I wanted to make sure we jump over and show Robert Inlakesh's take on what's going on in Syria. Really important. About 10 minutes, so take a listen to this. But do not take off because I've got lots more to talk about after this, a good amount to talk about after this in regard to specifically lockdown and vaccine passports as well, and a couple other points on foreign policy. So take a listen to what's going on in Syria, because it's really important to not lose track of this. And by the way, I'm going to be having Vanessa Bailey on in the coming weeks. And also, by the way, on the top, now that I'm thinking about it, I've also scheduled another interview with James Lyon Weiler for the next couple of days, and another one with Dr. Kaufman as well, because it's important to show people that we are keeping an open mind in these discussions, because it's such a funny dynamic that happened with that, where I think Kaufman is a very, very intelligent person. And I think his arguments make more sense than a lot of what's happening today. However, I'm still open, and there's a few things that I'm not completely sold on, which some people just can't wrap their mind around. Oh, you're pushing Kaufman is what we get told. But even though I haven't talked to him or even referenced him in months, and then I say that on a previous show and people go, what, you don't believe in Kaufman anymore? What, you think he's fake? It's like, I didn't even come close to saying that. So my point is, I'm going to have him back on the show to go over even more in depth what he has to say. And guess what? Believe it. That doesn't even, shocker, it doesn't mean that I believe wholeheartedly every single thing he's going to say. It's just so pathetic how we get pigeonholed like this by these people that want to sell their one narrative while we're willing to engage and open our minds to all sorts of different things, which is what anybody intelligent and objective and open-minded would do. It's a true sign of intelligence to be able to accept a thought to entertain an idea without accepting it, right? The fact that we can't do that anymore is unbelievable to me. On that note, though, I just wanted to make sure you hear that we have a lot of interviews coming up. Now, hearing from Robert some very important information on Syria that you should pay attention to.
Back to the Foreign Policy Show with me, Robert Inlakesh, for The Last American Vagabond. As you can tell, slightly different surrounding for this Foreign Policy Show update, but it's a very important one today. We're going to be talking about what just happened with Biden's authorized strike in Syria, that's in the east of the country, close to the border with Iraq, and was committed allegedly by the United States in retaliation for Iran-backed groups, what they call Iran-backed militias, attacking U.S. forces inside of Iraq. So let's get right into this. First of all, we have to analyze what happened which caused this so-called retaliation. So if we go back to around a week ago, there was an attack on Erbil near a U.S. military site, which is located pretty much adjacent to an airport there, an international airport. Erbil is an area in the north of Iraq. It's highly populated by the Kurdish population there. And of course, the United States is situated in this area. The rocket attack which occurred there was claimed by a group called Awliya Adem, which means essentially the Guardians of Blood. That's what it would be, the rough translation. This is a hardline Shia group inside of Iraq, which has never been backed by Iran. However, the likes of CNN and others in the Western media, especially those aligned with the Democrat Party, describe the group as an Iran-backed militia. This is not true in any way, shape, or form. Awliya Adem has never been backed by Iran at all. Not diplomatically, it hasn't been backed with money, it hasn't been backed with weaponry, and it hasn't been backed with any sort of training. There was said to have been an investigation by the United States into this attack in order to try and solve the problem of who exactly did commit this attack, what exactly happened. We never heard of any sort of conclusive report on what exactly went down that day. However, we would be led to believe that it was this group, Awliya Adem, because they did claim responsibility for the attack. Despite being Shia, they have nothing to do with Iran. And so later on, we saw reports coming out where they would describe the group as a front group for what's known as the Hashid al-Shaabi, or the PMU. That's the Popular Mobilization Units, or sometimes you might hear it referred to as the PMF, the Popular Mobilization Forces in Iraq. Now, these, the PMU, are part, officially, of the Iraqi Armed Forces. So they are not just an Iranian proxy group or a cluster of Iranian militias, as they're often described by Western media as. They are officially part of the Iraqi Armed Forces. They're connected to the government. They're embedded with the Iraqi Armed Forces. And so they're not just some sort of rogue terrorist group, and that's key to understand. But even for them and groups like Kitab Hezbollah, which is a very prominent group which exists inside the PMU, which is absolutely backed by Iran and aligned by with Iran, has absolutely nothing, and there's no proof whatsoever that it has a connection to this hardline Shia militant group, which swears that it wants to expel the U.S. occupiers. And again, it's about expelling occupation forces. It's about getting the U.S. troops and presence out of Iraq. And this is something born of U.S. military aggression against the Iraqi people. So it's not just something unfounded, and there's like no reason for this crazy Shia terrorist organization. However, it is one of the more hardline groups, and is not actually backed by Iran. I would suggest for that reason that it's sort of unpredictable and uncontrollable in that sense. But putting that aside, and the Erbil base attack, which ended up killing a contractor, it injured a U.S. serviceman, and a number of others as well. If we put that to the side for a moment, we saw at the time that they were talking about in the media, and also the U.S. government, the State Department, was suggesting that it would have the right to respond to this. And that would come as a retaliation to whoever did this strike. But we never heard any sort of conclusive evidence of who did it. We never heard of any conclusive evidence which points to the group which claimed the attack, Adliya Adam, of being any way backed by Iran or the Hashid, right? So the PMU. And then suddenly we get these strikes in Syria, which were in the Abu Kamal area, the area around the Syrian border. There was a number of coalition strikes, which the official statistics would have you believe that there were 17 dead. However, these claims, perpetuated by Syrian opposition media and others, have been contested by sources on the ground, people that I've spoken to as well, who are, let's say, in the know. They are people who have close sources with the PMU, are closely connected with them, have said and have stated, and you may have seen the reports come out as well, contradicting the narrative that 17 people were killed, saying that only one force from the Hashid al-Shaabi, one person was killed, and there were four others injured in this attack. But regardless of the scale of the attack, and we can debate numbers all day long, I don't believe that's too important at the moment. What it was a clear message that the Biden administration is going to continue on with the same policy as he did as vice president under Barack Obama, and as Donald Trump did. Same thing, bombing Syria, based upon these phony allegations and an attempt to try and attack Iran. And so we haven't heard the United States government say this is a warning to Iran directly and use that sort of language, but we've definitely heard the media so far use that language, that this is a warning against Iran. And so with the US media cooking up this narrative that it is some sort of a warning to Iran, this is an extremely aggressive posture to take, especially so early into his presidency. On top of that, what we are also seeing is we are seeing that the United States is doubling down on its sanctions on the country, which are starving the Syrian people. And this is a real problem, because we know these sanctions have the capability to really harm the people of said given country which they are applied to. We've seen this in the case of Venezuela and the way that it's affecting the people there. We saw it in Iraq, probably the worst case, where we saw hundreds of thousands of children die due to the fact that the sanctions were placed on Iraq, and now we're seeing a continuation of that policy in Syria. And so for all of the rhetoric that we hear surrounding the war in Syria and how much the United States supposedly wants to help the people of Syria, we're seeing that they are starving them specifically. And where the United States is located inside of Syria strategically sits on not only the oil fields, the Al-Omar oil fields in the northeast of the country, but also the most fertile and arable agricultural lands. And so when you're sitting on that, which is the heart of the country in terms of its breadbasket, you're destroying the possibility of the people to live, for them to thrive. And that's what we're seeing of the United States Biden administration, that it's continuing on that policy. And with these strikes that we've just seen, it is very clear that Biden is taking that posture. The other aspect of this as well, as we talked about just a second ago, this threatening Iran posture, this may be one of two things. And I think it's most likely an indication that there will be a hardline anti-Iranian stance taken. However, it could be another thing as well. This could be, number one, indicating that Biden is not wanting to get back in the JCPOA. That's the Iran nuclear deal, as it's often referred to as. And that he is taking a staunchly anti-Iran approach, and that we won't see the sanctions lifted against Iran. And now, this sort of approach, an approach with Iran, would be an escalatory stance to take. And we could see that. Also, we know that the Iranians have responded by saying, we're doubling down on our support for the Syrian government. We're not going to leave Syria. We're going to make sure we stay behind Syria, the Syrian government, to make sure that they win this war out. And we've seen as well the reemergence of Daesh, ISIS, which, by the way, the United States assassinated not only Qasem Soleimani, who was one of the top generals, of course, the top Iranian general, but one of the top generals who helped defeat Daesh in both Iraq and in Syria. They killed him, and they killed Abu Mehdi al-Muhandis as well, who was also, as part of the PMU, one of the top generals in the fight against Daesh, in or ISIS, as it's referred to as, the so-called Islamic State, destroying them in both Iraq and Syria. Now they're re-emerging again. You know, a lot of people have a lot of questions. How are they re-emerging? Where are they coming from? Why are they coming back at this time? But we can go into that another time, and that gets into a little bit of speculation there. Coming back to the Iran issue, it could also indicate that perhaps Joe Biden is wanting to take this hardline stance. He's wanting to impress Israel. You know, Israel supported wholeheartedly these strikes against the Hashid, which had really no practical implications. They're not really going to, you know, win a war. There's nothing that really they are achieving other than blatant aggression against Iran with these strikes. And so it could be strikes as a means of getting at Iran, taking an aggressive posture with Iran, sort of having that hardline strongman position for Joe Biden before perhaps maybe he is to ease some of the sanctions and try and get back into the JCPOA. And that is a possibility, that maybe these strikes are something that the United States is using to sort of say that we are being, you know, the tough guy, and we're coming into this, you know, in a firm way, and we're not just sort of letting Iran get away with whatever they want to get away with. So that could be part of what this is about. What seems most likely at this point is that Joe Biden is taking the typical aggressive pro-war stance that we've seen Washington take for a very long time, and that he's going to continue expanding his efforts to bomb the hell out of everyone and anyone inside of the Middle East, like we've seen with the Trump administration, with Obama's administration, which Joe Biden was part of, so it should be no surprise, and before that as well. And so Joe Biden is a continuation of what we've seen the U.S. empire be since we can remember, essentially. Until next time, people, that's all for today. I hope everyone's had a great day and a great night wherever you are in the world. Until next time, this has been The Foreign Policy Show with me, Robert Inlakesh, for The Last American Vagabond.
Always doing a great job, Robert is. Now, we're going to have a lot more coming from him in a lot of ways in the near future, but very well put. And it aligns with everything we're always seeing here, guys. I mean, it is not a shock to see the way this has played out. It's the same old thing. It's weird. I pointed this out, I think, in the last show, but suddenly Biden becomes elected and then all of a sudden, all these old narratives started just popping off again that just were quiet. I mean, just immediately we saw all rockets started flying, and all of a sudden we see things happening in all the same ways that they're, it's just interesting. ISIS and these different things all start popping off. And in this case, I think it is very clear that it has something to do with the JCPOA and the very at least showing the world certain things. And the one that made the most sense to me that Robert and I were talking about is the possibility that this was either the sense of showing them or Israel specifically that we're not going to be soft on Iran, or more so setting the table in a way that shows them that they're not being weak, but yet they're willing to re-enter the JCPOA in a way to kind of appease the neocons or whoever else that's pro-war. And then you go back into this, but say, you know, but we're still being tough on them. Now, this brings me to the next point. Well, first of all, the idea that, as Robert pointed out, that Israel was very pleased with the U.S. strikes on Syria, you know, the illegal strikes that are war crimes. As I said, you know, this is basically Israel patting Biden on the head. Good boy. Good job. Thanks for doing what you were told. Right. Because this has, as Robert points out, this didn't accomplish nothing. This is the U.S. government using Syria as a bombing ground for politics. Right. We're going to bomb these things to point to and say, see, we're being tough. But did the bomb accomplish anything? I mean, did you bomb because Syria just did something? No, they just decided to bomb Syria, even though we're talking about Iraq and rockets in Iraq that was not even remotely tied to what they're saying is Iran or Syria, by the way. But just because the whole thing is just Iran proxy zone is what they're just arbitrarily naming things, they just get to bomb Syria and then go, see, we're being tough on terrorism. It's just the same old thing. This is a tired Biden mentality, but it's the same old thing. It's not Biden. Biden's a placeholder. This is the same agenda that's always been here. And yes, there are different angles to this. There is slightly, you do see different pushes coming from what we saw under Trump versus here now, but recognize that the same thing is ultimately happening. The same wars, the same loss of rights, the same everything with a little bit of different tint, right? You get the woke bombings now. Good times. Woke murder. It's even better, right? Very pleased with him. But I also want to point out that there was an explosion, as you might have seen, on an Israeli cargo ship right at the same time. Like, not exact same time, but right around the same time period. And of course, this is also being laid at the feet generally of some kind of Iran effort. Now, what I tend to think is that this is an example of something being executed, knowing that there was going to be an attack being, you know, claimed to be directed at Iran, even though it's happening in Syria and murdering Syrians. And maybe the possibility, recognizing that that was Biden's intention to use this as a stepping stone to get back into the JCPOA. And this attack on this tanker could have been a way to make sure that it didn't happen. The idea of committing false flags is something the Israeli government is very familiar with, as well as the U.S. government. But so the point is that the agenda of using the U.S. as a battering ram against Iran is not secret. But so when Biden is even possibly considering entering back into the JCPOA, Israel has said, well, we're going to bomb Iran then. We're going to threaten their nuclear. Like, if you even consider that, we're going to attack Iran. They've already said this. So, and not only are they extorting our government and saying, well, we're going to do things unless you do what we want. But now it seems that this has happened at just the right time, at a time when it seems that the Iranian government has never been more clear about the fact that they don't want to they want to get back into the JCPOA. They want to get back to some kind of normalcy in that regard, or they could be lying about all of it and bombing everybody. But you know what we need? Evidence. Nothing we ever get from our government before they commit acts of war, which is never okay. But I'm sure we'll follow up more, both myself and Robert, to see what we find with this. But remember things like the limpet mines and the different situation we had during, you know, earlier with John Bolton in Israel with Iran. That all led back to Israel lying about what Iran did. That's not a secret. The media will never tell you that. It all got traced back to Israeli intelligence telling Bolton, we have credible intelligence of a threat. You know what it amounted to? As I've told you before, Iran boats moving in Iran harbors with containers. That's it. Never, ever proved to be anything but containers on boats that were in the harbor, which is, I don't know, common in harbors with containers and boats. But no, of course, because Iran's moving ships with containers in their own harbors, whoa, that's a credible threat. Well, it's a credible threat because they want it to be. They were literally going, they did, in fact, use the Bethlehem Doctrine, meaning that they have a credible threat, meaning they have the right to attack under the guise that they're defending themselves preemptively. That's not even a joke. And all it was based on was boats moving in their own harbors. But yeah, let's pretend like now we can trust everything they have to say when Israel's involved, you know, on top of everything else. But now Israel and the United States, after all of this, are going to convene in a top secret strategic forum on Iran. So let's pretend like that has nothing to do with what just happened. The first round of talks on the intelligence surrounding the Iran nuclear program expected in the coming days. Netanyahu was already on the news again talking about how they're really close to a bomb, which he's been saying for 40 years. And by the way, Iran has never, ever been shown to be actually like the idea is that they've made it very clear that this is something that is against their religious beliefs. Now, sure, they could be lying about that, but this is why the JCPOA was there. That's why the IAEA has continued to inspect. And guess what? They don't see what Netanyahu keeps claiming over all this time. And you'd think after claiming they're weeks away from a bomb 40 years that they might actually get there by now, especially since no one's claims, you know, the IAEA seems to be missing that big bomb they're making. Look, I'm just being facetious. Could they be making a nuclear bomb? Of course they could. And by the way, that's actually their right because every other country seems to be allowed to. But at the end of the day, evidence is needed. Not just Netanyahu lying again or Biden following his lead because he can't tie his own shoes. The point is that it's evidence that we need that no longer seems to matter to the country screaming about liberty, rights, and freedom and the law. It's insulting to our intelligence as everything else is that they do. But as Caitlin points out, this latest Biden airstrike is being spun as defensive, which is exactly what I just said, and retaliatory, right? So rockets fly in Iraq that, by the way, ISIS is the only one that I can verify actually has access to these Katyusha rockets in the area, proven to have fired them in Syria, but no one wants to talk about that. And again, the PMU has access to U.S.-made weapons that are given to Iraq. But sure, they're going to use Soviet-era rockets with no guidance that I know are going to be blamed on them. Totally makes sense. But that happened in Iraq. And now they bomb Syria because of that and blame Iran? Yeah, I don't think too hard into it. Just trust your government. But yes, it's retaliatory. This is the Bethlehem Doctrine. We're going to fight back against something even though we didn't prove anything. Well, actually, this is a little bit different since they're claiming that this was a first attack. But evidence is, again, the point. They're claiming it as defensive and retaliatory despite its targeting a nation the U.S. invaded. Can't forget that point, can we? In response to alleged attacks on U.S. forces in another nation the U.S. invaded. So two countries they're illegally occupying, and all we're getting is calls from the government going, we're waiting for your investigation, Iraq. We're still waiting. Didn't we vote them out? Yeah, we did, but they're still here, but they respect our sovereignty. The whole point is they keep acting like Iraq has to do what the U.S. government says. And in a sense, they do. Why? Not because it's a sovereign country, but because the U.S. government is their master. They are occupying them. They are militarily telling them what they have to do, and they have to do it. And then, of course, they just scream about freedom and then pretend like that's not happening. You can't illegally occupy countries and then act like you're being attacked. That's really stupid. And I don't know why we can't actually have an honest discussion about this. You can't invade a nation and then claim self-defense there, ever. I don't think anybody would disagree with that unless we start talking about Israel. Can someone please tell Israel this? Anybody? Thank you. Funny how laws and rights only matter when discussed while we're talking about the quote bad guys. Isn't it? Wouldn't you think it'd be the other way around? How laws should matter when the good guys are acting? No, doesn't count. Only when it applies to the actions of the bad guys. And somehow a bunch of Americans can't figure this out. I mean, just think about how crazy that is. Now, again, I'm being facetious, right? The point is that the false majority, these people, and these are the people that should be able to see through it, continue to take this bait. Over and over and over. And that's exactly what James Corbett keeps pointing out. But my point, on top of that every time, is that I truly believe that by and large out there, whether we're talking about Americans or plenty of other countries, that you guys are smart enough to see through this, and you do. It's just about you deciding to have the courage and the will to stand up and scream that you do not agree. Call me a conspiracy theorist. Call me whatever you want. I'm not going to wear your mask. I'm not going to do what you're telling me. I'm not going to be okay with murdering families for freedom. Not going to happen. It's time we had that talk. On top of that, recognize this government we're describing. They're now, through proliferation of joint law enforcement task forces, the government is creating a national police force that operates in a legal twilight zone with little to no oversight. But don't worry, they're the good guy government, so don't worry about the loss of rights in the police state and the fact that they're doing all the things they scream about bad guys doing every day and not proving the bad guys are doing them. But it's okay because Biden has a good heart. Yeah, that's the point. That's the narrative of the story today. But let's bring this back into a couple more points to wrap up back on COVID-19, because yes, we're talking about martial law type stuff, law enforcement, the idea that we are currently living in a martial law scenario. This is martial law, guys. I don't know why, just because it happened real slow, it doesn't mean it's not still martial law. Derek just wrote a fantastic article, which I just told you he was working on, and he came out today. As predicted, immunity passports are no longer a fantasy. And this is it's the same thing I just showed you, the same documents. Here's the PDF itself. You can go through yourself. This is real, guys. This is happening now. Not only the IATA, which again is, lose the acronym here, which is, strange. That's crazy. I know it's in there. This is a grouping. Oh, here it is. Head of airline. No, that's really strange. Well, in any case, before I take 1,000 years to find this thing, the IATA, which is an organization of 299 airliners, companies around the world, are we told you this? I told you yesterday, way back in, I believe, May, he called this out and said, they're coming. They're already here. They're already telling you it's going to happen. And they said, you're a crazy conspiracy theorist. Well, now, not only are they now pulling it into reality, but they're also working with these other governments, the UK, Sweden, Denmark, Iceland, the United States, Spain, all saying that they're making these right now. All saying that right this moment, we're discussing how this is going to be implemented. And yet still, it's fake news conspiracy theory. It really is crazy to me. Oh, it's right here. International Air Travel Association. Now, it's just the fact that there's a huge grouping, 299 airlines, all telling you right now, this is happening. And right now, you talk about this on Twitter, you'll be laughed at. How do you make sense of that? You make sense of it because you're being deceived. You're being lied to. And either those people laughing are happy to blindly take at face value the narrative of the government while this stuff is that obvious and laugh at you, which just shows you how ignorant they are, or they don't care and they're lying to you for some reason. But it's all happening very clearly. And this part of it is a little more unnerving than something, even the larger discussion, because this is about just in Los Angeles and just children, and I would argue monitoring and tracking their interactivity and everything that they do under the guise of COVID-19. Los Angeles Unified Daily Pass.
Hello. I know you're taking the time to
work. And recognize too, as we get into this, that I don't remember voting for any of this. Right? Remember that old trope, the old illusion of democracy, you know, that we all get to pick what happens because freedom and liberty. No, we don't get to pick these things. Why? Oh, that's right. Because danger. Well, because constitutional rights are put on hold because of fear. Right? That's what the Constitution says, right? Of course.
Hello. I know you're taking the time to watch because you care. And you don't want your child to miss the opportunity to come back to school as soon as possible and in the safest way possible.
Already setting the tone for, so you're going to have to do what we tell you to do so that's possible, right? So it's not your choice anymore. Don't miss the opportunity to send your kids back to school as long as you've jumped through these hoops.
You care or you wouldn't be here with me now. For all of us at LA Unified, nothing matters more than welcoming your child back into a school classroom as soon as we can in the safest way possible. That's why I'm here today with a big, big announcement, and you're the first I'm sharing it with. During the past many months, we've been working hand in hand with Microsoft to create a great solution to bring students, teachers, and all who work in schools back to school in the safest way possible.
Microsoft, what do you know? It's like they're everywhere. Anywhere you have technocratic tied concepts, you'll find Microsoft. I just find that telling.
It's a real breakthrough for keeping your child safe when they come back to school. It's called the Daily Pass. Now it's my pleasure to introduce you to Aaron Megiddo from Microsoft.
Thank you, Austin. At Microsoft, our top priority is helping educators, students, and their caregivers with the tools and support they need for their health and learning. Since the spring, our teams have been collaborating closely with LA Unified to support running schools remotely. educators, students, and parents have needed to adopt new ways of teaching and learning. It has been inspiring and incredible to watch you move learning forward. We are so pleased to be working with LA Unified to help you return schools back sooner and safer. We are excited for you to start using Daily Pass. Now, back to you, Austin.
Thanks, Earl.
So they spend like a minute and a half, almost 2 minutes, just expressing to you why you do this. Are you, you know, basically you, this will let you go back to school. This will go back to school. Do this and you can go back to school. You're only here because you care. What's even happening? Like, what does this even mean? We don't even know what's happening yet, right? It's just, this is the typical brainwashing propaganda they need to get into you. You're doing this because it's right. It's right. You're here because you're good. You're good. You're good. Like, it's just brainwashing.
You and your colleagues at Microsoft really knocked it out of the park.
They sure did,
They're
John.
Probably wondering, what exactly is this big breakthrough? Well, we put together a short video to explain all the benefits of the Daily Pass for you, your child, and everyone in your family.
Wait, isn't that what we're watching? Oh, I guess not. Oh, I forgot. We're on the propaganda part still. Now let's get to the actual video, which you thought you were watching. No, you were watching their propaganda infomercial first.
All who have used this Daily Pass at schools are committed to keep using it because they know it keeps everyone in the school community.
Of course, safe. Because they're good people and we're right. What we're doing is good. And if you're doing it, you're good too. You got it?
Enjoy the video.
There's never been anything like this virus in our lifetime.
Okay, let's right out of the gate make a completely false statement. That's fantastic.
Often, it's hard to see the effects it's having on our children. Has this conversation taken place in your home?
Mom, I'm scared about going back to school. I don't want to get sick.
Said no child ever. I mean, this is ridiculous. And of course, what we're actually understanding is that all of the actions caused by your government are what are causing suicide rates amongst children to skyrocket 50%. Yeah, but we don't care about that, right? We only care about the narrative. Like, it's just so ridiculous how they're pushing in their narrative and acting like they care about the children.
And I don't want to get you and Dad sick.
Our scientists,
even though it's already been shown that asymptomatic transmission basically doesn't exist and that kids have a basically a 0% chance of getting sick. But yeah, let's pretend like kids can still get their parents sick and warp them even more. Let's scare them even more. Let's make them think they can't even hug their own parents while they can't go to school and they can't do anything else. I wonder why they're killing themselves.
Tell us there are three things we must do to stay safe. Wear masks. Make sure we social distance.
So masks, which we know are causing dramatic side effects for these children. PhDs, medical doctors, dentists across the country are all telling you that these things are causing catastrophic problems. Systemic inflammation, gum disease, periodontal disease, in breathing in the strep from your mouth, which happens when your mouth dries out from the mask, breathing it into your lungs, which causes bacterial pneumonia, which leads to all sorts of other things. And the mask itself has been found connected to the fact that it increases your risk of viral infections as well as chronic illnesses. All these are found by numerous studies from PhDs as well as random controlled trials from the British Medical Journal, from Oxford, from NIH. But who cares about any of this? Just wear the mask because this video told you to.
And wash our hands. And now, your school, with the help of Microsoft Corporation, has created another. Introducing Daily Pass.
So 2 minutes and 40 seconds, we're finally getting to what it actually is.
Your exclusive ticket for safely going back to school. Each week, you can schedule your free on-campus COVID test.
Wow.
The results are displayed in your Daily Pass.
So you have to get a test, right? So first, so the way they're not going to say that, but you need a test to be able to get the pass. Otherwise, this wouldn't be there. So you have force, you're telling kids they have to be tested every week. Otherwise, you won't go back to school. Genetics, DNA, who knows what else? The point is that this is not necessary, but we knowing that they have a 0% chance, according to the CDC, right now on their website, and that asymptomatic transmission in a study of 10 million people found it to be near non-existent. But let's keep doing this to the children.
If you choose to take your test off campus, you can post the results in your Daily Pass. And the moment vaccinations are available, you'll simply be able to schedule yours through your Daily Pass.
Of course.
But the real magic is your daily health check. Just answer a few simple health questions every day.
Wow.
And like magic, your entrance ticket appears.
So why does this not matter about anything else? Right? Why is this only suddenly now becoming so important? Especially knowing that the data is simply not there about COVID-19. It just, it, this is about building a specific biosecurity state that everything hinges on tracking your health and using it to their advantage. And this is something that we see, whether it's big pharma discussion, vaccine discussions, or just simply government control. In every aspect, this is unjustified. And they're doing it to our children right now, when they are the ones that seem to be the least affected by what's happening. And why, you may ask, just like everything else, why they've got police in your schools, it's because they are training them, they are engineering, they are conditioning them to be, this is normal. So when they enter their lives and they have to do this when they go to work or go on the train, well, I'm used to that because I did it my whole life when I was in school.
Welcome back.
And recognize that she has a pass. It says she's fine, has a test every week, and apparently is vaccinated, but still has a mask on. You miss that part? Because that's never going away.
Welcome to school.
Even the guys got them. All got masks. That's your future, guys, like I told you from the beginning.
So, how did it go?
So why is he not wearing a mask? That is some wildly inconsistent messaging, don't you think?
Dad, I have to admit, I was scared at first. But then I felt so safe. It was so good to be back.
Oh my God.
Thanks for keeping me safe. I love you so much.
God, this is just disgusting propaganda. What does that whole exchange have anything to do with this pass? It's because it's more about emotionally manipulating you and children than giving you the facts about what this really is. And why are they both not wearing masks? I'm not saying they should be. I hope you understand that. I think it's ridiculous and nobody should be forced to or have to do any of this stuff. But the fact that they are not right now doing so, and it's just inconsistent. It doesn't make any sense. That's usually intentional.
Thank you for being the caring family. We're working together with all in the school community to bring children back to school as safely as possible. We're looking forward to seeing their smiling faces back in school where they belong. Thank you.
Look at this. Take a look. What a shocker. Johns Hopkins, Microsoft, Stanford, US. Well, what's interesting, by the way, is that if you really take a look, the actual video that we were actually looking to want to see about the Unified Daily Pass is from there to there, which is, you know what, like a quarter of the video. I just want you to recognize how much they put into this that is about emotionally manipulating you, which needs to show you how little actually matters. Like, they do that when they don't have evidence or when they know that you're going to be scared about what this is, when they want to coax you into doing something, which usually means that you should be a little resistant to it. But back in the idea of lockdowns, to finish us up here, the World Economic Forum is telling you now, the lockdowns are quietly improving the world. This is not a joke. This is what this is another angle of the propaganda where, despite the aggressive increase in suicide rates, the increase in all kinds of other illnesses and diabetes and cancers and all kinds of things, the issue of mental disabilities or mental issues happening with people because of what's going on, not because of COVID-19, on top of everything else and the job loss and the loss of income and the can't feed your families and the exponential increase in poverty. Who cares about any of that stuff? Why? Well, because the Earth's seismic noise has been reduced, so they can recognize earthquakes that are quiet now. I'm not kidding. Yeah, because everybody was forced into their homes. But what a great thing, though, right? Because it lessened the noise everywhere. Factories closed. What a great thing, because people don't have jobs and can't feed their families. But they got... scientists could record small earthquakes. What a serendipitous situation. Oh, because they can predict larger earthquakes now, so they say. I guess we'll just have to wait and see if that actually happens. But in any case, it's a good thing we destroyed our entire society, because now we can predict larger earthquakes, baby. Oh, and we're also a record a fall in pollution. So that's great. So no more pollution, right? Oh, it came right back. That's right. So nothing actually changed. But we're still in lockdown, though. So how does that make sense? Who cares? Ah, so we won't be able to do it unless we keep doing the things that aren't currently doing what they say. I mean, don't try to make any sense of it, right? So lockdown happened, and we suddenly saw a drop in all the pollution. But we're still on lockdown in most places, and it's all back now? Does that make any sense? But all they want to say is, whatever it means, just more aggressive lockdown stuff so we can stop climate change. How quiet was your local area? Oh, so we should all strive to be real quiet. That's the message, right? Don't go out and do anything because you're disrupting all the measures and stuff. It's crazy. That's the best they can do? That's the best they got while lockdowns are helping everybody. Well, let's not forget, first of all, the fact that currently, as of right now, they still maintain from the WHO that lockdowns are not what they should be doing. Anybody want to explain that for me? Why suddenly they're able to challenge what the WHO says when I've been censored routinely for pointing to what they say in a different context?
Well, a problem we don't think about in lockdowns is that they're very nationalistic. That if we lock down our economy, then it hits our economy. But it also means we are not buying stuff. We're not trading with weaker economies. We are not just destroying our own jobs. We're destroying the jobs of all those that in the poorer parts of the world that export to us. That seemed to me to be a reasonable point.
Really important point by Professor Gupta. I want to say it again. We in the World Health Organization do not advocate lockdowns as a primary means of control of this virus. The only time we believe a lockdown is justified is to buy you time to reorganize, regroup, rebalance your resources, protect your health workers who are exhausted. But by and large, we'd rather not do it. Just look at what's happened to the tourism industry, for example, in the Caribbean or in the Pacific, because people aren't taking their holidays. Look what's happened to smallholder farmers all over the world, because their markets have got dented. Look what's happening to poverty levels. It seems that we may well have a doubling of world poverty by next year. We may well have at least a doubling of child malnutrition because children are not getting meals at school and their parents in poor families are not able to afford it. This is a terrible, ghastly global catastrophe, actually. And so we really do appeal to all world leaders. Stop using lockdown as your primary control method. Develop better systems for doing it. Work together and learn from each other. But remember, lockdowns just have one consequence that you must never, ever belittle, and that is making poor people an awful lot poorer.
Indeed, and a rise in world poverty after years and years in which world poverty was falling.
So, anybody want to explain that? The idea that right now we can, they're saying, well, we shouldn't be doing it. And here are all these countries doing it. We have people in the EU saying, well, we're going to do it just in case because the variant. How does that make sense? They're just deciding they get to do it on their own because they think it's right. What happened to the whole thing about not challenging the narrative? It's all BS, guys. If they can just suddenly deviate from what they're being told they're supposed to do, but they can censor me for challenging what the so if I right now go on and challenge that lockdowns are what we should be doing, am I not challenging the WHO? Should I not be censored? But they won't do that because it's not about challenging them. It's about challenging the gospel narrative. And as somebody rightly points out, somebody on a with a mask on a bike, because that's totally safe. It's just that these people are going to have catastrophic health problems and it will begin to be seen. We will see this. We're already seeing it. People's teeth are falling out and they're trying to blame it on COVID-19. This is a sign of periodontal disease that's been exacerbated by the mask. I mean, I've done entire shows on this that I hope you will check out, but there's a lot more in that to just kind of rattle off in this one show. But recognize that there's a lot here that we know shows us these lockdowns are damaging. I've really become, Swiss Policy Research has been doing an outstanding job. And it's not their opinion. They're not writing articles. They are cataloging data from all across the world, updated as of February 2021. But who cares about the truth, right? I want to jump right down to the one that's the point in this discussion, lockdowns. In contrast to early border controls, lockdowns have had no significant effect on the pandemic. Rather, the WHO warned that lockdowns have caused terrible global catastrophe. And according to the UN, lockdowns may put the livelihood of 1.6 billion people at acute risk of and may push an additional 150 million children into poverty. But because that variant may be dangerous and we just don't know, who cares about those 150 million children? Right? I thought we cared about the children. Are we worried about children going back to school and wearing masks? But we don't care about those children. So that equals they don't care about any children. They care about using children to push an agenda. But I hope you will go through this in its entirety. As I always point out, all these graphs and all these diagrams showing you when, like, the fact that when we started lockdowns, we saw an increase in all these problems. The same with masks, which shows you they're causing more problems. But when you just take the time to go through this overview, which, by the way, it is all cited and all sourced, like everything on this site, lethality. According to the latest immunological studies, the overall infection rate of COVID-19 in the general population is about 0.1 to 0.5 in most countries. Now, remember, that's when you include the over 80 in a nursing home scenario, which is not the right thing to do. Because at the end of the day, if the vast majority of this happened in nursing homes and the vast majority of them were people over 80 with comorbidities, that part of it is not accurate to blend in the average of everybody else. Because when you remove that, this is less than the flu. And most people are not being, and then also remember the idea that we're talking about places like New York, where they seemingly aggressively exacerbated the situation in nursing homes, put people in those homes and made and allowed that to continue to happen. Treatment, or actually, let's go to just, I don't want to go through all of them actually, but you should read through all of these. Long COVID, about 10% of symptomatic people report. It says this also affects post-syndrome was known from severe. I genuinely believe this is being caused by masks, by and large. That's my opinion. Check out the data for yourself. Masks, there is still little to no scientific evidence for the effectiveness of cloth masks in the general population. And there are studies that you can look at for yourself. All this is backed up, but it goes on and on and on. PCR test, vaccine, all this stuff. And some of them you may disagree with. But the points are, the main points in there are showing you that the main pillars of this illusion are lies. It's time for you to pay attention to that. No lockdown in Sweden sees COVID deaths plummet quicker than in UK. Nobody wants to talk about that. Mises Institute back in, this is on the 21st, actually. Yet another study, yet again, that lockdowns don't work. This is from January. But who cares? Nobody cares about the information when it comes from reputable places that challenges the narrative. Federal judge rules nationwide eviction ban is unconstitutional. So even while we're being forced on lockdown, our federal judges are ruling that, well, we can't just stop have them paying rent. I know they don't have jobs and I know they can't feed their families, but it's unconstitutional to stop them paying rent. Because as always, your government cares mostly about you, right? Well, to finish this off, I just thought this was quite interesting. I just saw this circulating online. I figured I'd throw it out there for everybody. People are saying that as of March 1st, they are just going to mass stop complying. You know what? I think that's a good idea. Stop not doing something that will put you at risk, not doing something that I would argue is, you know, breaking the law, not mandates. And that's only in my mind because then they'll have a reason to commit violence against you. But at the end of the day, peaceful resistance. As of March 1st, 2021, the COVID lockdown in the US is over. As of this date, the following will occur. Masks are no longer mandatory. Social distance is no longer required. Plastic barriers are no longer required. Social circles and boundaries are no longer required. We, as the citizens of the United States of America, are now back in charge of our lives effective March 1st, 2021, as the USA returns to normal. All businesses are to return to business as usual, removing the COVID requirements for their employees and customers. For citizens that have immune issues or are older or are just worried about COVID, you are free to continue self-isolating and practicing the above guidelines as you see fit because you're a free human being. We as the citizens of the United States of America are now free to make our own health decisions effective March 1st, 2021. You may choose to live your life based on your own decisions for your own health. If we take action effective March 1st, we, the people of the United States of America, will take control of our nation back from our government and they cannot stop us. We have power in numbers. And you know what? I believe that. Imagine tomorrow if 100 million Americans suddenly stopped complying. Imagine if 300 million stopped complying. What do you think would happen? You think they're going to arrest 300 million people? Some will probably try. But the point is, you have every right to stand up for what you believe in, and they have no right to force you to do any of these things. So who knows? Maybe on March 1st, we will see a massive resistance, a massive protest, a massive pushback. But at the very least, I hope that you will take this motivation and stop complying, showing everybody around you that you are not okay with what's happening, that you do not feel you need this because you are not at risk. And you know what? That's your choice. I'm not telling you that's what you should be doing. If you feel you should be doing this, it's your choice to take action. The point is that the government cannot continue to tell us that we have to take medical treatments. We have to take medical non-pharmaceutical measures. They can tell us we should, but they cannot force it on you, as says international law, you know, as well as U.S. law, by the way, that just is put on pause because fear. It's time to fight back, guys. And as always, you know that I do not mean violence, but it is time to fight back. I love you all. Thank you for being here. And stand up for people that cannot stand up for themselves, like the people we saw in the beginning of this video. They're no longer here because somebody wasn't there to stand up for them. Now is the time. I love you all, as always. Question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.